Liz, I am so happy that Framebridge is a sponsor of this episode of Satellite Sisters because I have the perfect job for Framebridge.
Oh, you have something special that requires framing? Preservation for the ages?
Yes, I do, Liz, because my book, The Marriage Sabbatical, was named a People magazine pick of the week. And guess who is on the cover of the People? My girl, Valerie Bertinelli. I mean, I want the magazine, and then I want to cut out the special, you know, mention of my book all in one frame. Wouldn't that be fantastic?
That's going to be fantastic. Plus, there's your head in a bubble. You have your book, the recommendation of your book, your head in a bubble, and Valerie Bertinelli. Framebridge it, baby.
Right. I mean, Framebridge is so good at framing unique and interesting items you want to display on your wall. It's just used to be difficult to get that stuff framed and expensive, but Framebridge makes it so easy. So if you have travel souvenirs or original artwork or hotel key cards or menus or tickets or wedding invitations, Liz, do you want to frame a license plate? I know who can do it for you.
This is exciting, Lee, and welcome back, Framebridge.
And we love Framebridge because the quality is super high. Liz, both you and I have gotten personal things framed at Framebridge, and we display them proudly in our house because it's easy and affordable. You know exactly how much you're going to pay up front. The frames are gorgeous. You get fast service, free shipping, and it's super great for gifts. And guess what, Liz? Happiness guarantee. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So Framebridge, get ready because my Valerie Bertinelli, People Magazine, and Marriage Sabbatical Pick of the Week mention is coming at you for framing. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Hi, this is Julie.
This is Liz.
This is Sheila.
This is Monica.
This is Leanne.
We are the Satellite Sisters.
You are listening to Satellite Sisters to Go.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Sunday, the 22nd of January. I'm Liz Dolan. I'm in Santa Monica, California. I'm joined on the line with three of my sisters. Julie is at some ranch somewhere in the middle of nowhere. She was, you know, texting from there on Friday, but she's not going to be able to join us today. But we have Leanne Dolan in Pasadena, California.
Liz, happy to be here today. Okay. And I'm risking it. I'm out of the closet.
Oh.
So if you hear people yelling or dogs barking, that's why.
Okay. All right. Sheila Dolan, you're in South Pasadena.
A very good distinction, Liz. Thank you very much. Yes. Hailing from South Pass.
And Monica Dolan in Portland, Oregon. Welcome back.
Hey,
hey. Well, obviously, we should start with the number one news story of the week, the announcement of the Heidi Klum and Seal divorce. You hadn't heard that, Sheila?
Ouch. I just heard that just now. I mean, what is this world coming to? That's the most depressing news of all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I really.
Forget the political debates. I mean, that's that. This is the end of the world. How could they have gotten divorced?
I just think if Heidi and Seal can't make it, there's not much hope for any of the rest of us. I don't know. There was just, didn't they like celebrate, like renew their vows every single year?
And yes.
Yes. I mean, they just seemed like they were really working it. And I don't know. I just saw the headline yesterday. I'm assuming it's true. I guess we don't really know. I don't know that it was a statement from either Heidi or Seal. But that's just, this is one of these celebrity divorces that honestly does make me sad. It doesn't happen very often that I care one way or another. But Heidi and Seal, I was really rooting for you.
And how are they possibly going to find better looking partners? What are they moving on to?
I know. That's
Heidi,
right.
Seal, how do you top Heidi Klum?
Right.
I mean, Padma Lakshmi, that's it. I mean, where else are you going? You're going nowhere.
No, I know. It's all downhill from here for both of them. So that makes it even more sad. So we're sorry to hear about that. You know, last year, I think I told you guys, the night of the Emmy Awards last September in Los Angeles, because I work for a television network now, I was at an after party. And Heidi and Seal walked in together. And this was after, like, some of the most famous people in the world world had already entered the room, and people were like totally blasé, as you know, it was like the whole cast of Modern Family coming in, you know, people like that, like, yeah, whatever. And then all of a sudden, Heidi and Seal walked in, and a hush came over the room. There,
wow.
There was just so much reverence in that room of shallow of shallow TV people for the like unbelievable beauty of this pair. It was really, it was quite impressive to see how they could like bring a party to a standstill just by walking in. So we may never see them together again.
I'm sorry to hear that. He's going to have to find a new woman to write love songs to.
Yeah. Yes. Well, I'm sure he has no shortage of volunteers. maybe that's the problem. We don't know. Anyway, so that's sad. Another, you know, really, truly sad story is what continues to go on with the Costa Concordia, that Italian cruise ship. We talked about it on the show last weekend. Monica, remember, we were discussing this, and we couldn't believe it last weekend, right?
Right, and it's still on its side in the water.
I think it's going to be there for a long time. I mean, when you look at how hard it is that they haven't even found all the missing passengers yet, it's just so
sad.
It's so tragic. And then I saw something in the news today that they think there may have also been stowaways on board. So they don't really know how many people are missing because they don't really know how many people were actually on board the ship.
I mean, stowaways.
Yeah. Doesn't that seem kind of, I don't know, 18th century?
Like, it does. Just,
like hitching a ride from Italy to wherever they were bound? I don't know.
All right.
I suppose in a boat that big, it's easy to hide. I don't know.
Who gets on to go? Yeah, okay. All right. I know that's not the story, but it's just not a word you hear a lot. Stowaway.
No. I'm guessing that 1,000 and crew, maybe a couple of them brought friends along who were that was my guess. I don't know. I don't think it was people just sneaking on board the ship for the free ride. I think it was just sort of, I'm guessing, total guess, unauthorized friends in crew cabins.
Okay. All right, Liz. Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I know that for those of you that follow Satellite Sisters on Twitter, where we are at Sat Sisters, I tweeted this out this week. There was a headline on the New York Post, who always seems to nail it with their headlines. You got to give them that. They had a picture of Captain Francesco Schettino, and the headline was Chicken of the Sea. And because, again, you listen to that audio tape of the Italian Coast Guard yelling at the captain to get back on the ship. And even if you don't speak Italian, you know what is going on.
That was the most incredible audio tape, the way they're just mocking. They're just taking him apart, like mocking him. It's dark. That's why you got off the ship. Get back on the ship. And then his excuse that he tripped and fell into the lifeboat.
That's the best ever.
It says everything you need to know about the Italians, doesn't it? What is that?
but yeah, okay, come on, Leon. Even the other Italians were outraged at the lameness of that excuse, right? I mean, I was very happy for the Italians that the Coast Guard was so outraged in the moment, that they had proof that this was not regular operating procedure. But the whole thing, it just must be, if you're one of those families that was on board or one of the families where they're still looking for your missing family member, and there's this sort of comedic side to the coverage, and then just the pictures of the boat still laying there on its side. And then this was, okay, free marketing advice to the Costa Concordia cruise lines. One of the things they did was they sent a letter to all the people on board offering them a 30% discount on future cruises. Now, okay, come on, people.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It should be at least 50.
But a total refund of their
tickets. I think
if you don't finish the cruise.
Yeah. So anyway, that story is just going to go from bad to worse. You can tell a lot of details are going to come out about how poorly managed the ship was over time. It's so really, really sad. Anyway, that's I think we're going to see those pictures for months and months and months.
Hey, Monica, what's happening in the Northwest there with your weather? Well, I emailed you. I was concerned. The coverage was so over the top.
We had a huge storm. We had a huge storm in Seattle and Portland. Now, we had sort of a snow event over Martin Luther King weekend, which I enjoyed because I like snow. You know, we had snow flurries. But unfortunately, in Portland, we didn't really get enough snow to cancel work, which was my goal.
that would have been nice. But on TV, it looked like people were just...
Well, people that live way up in the hills at higher elevations, they got quite a bit of snow. But of course, because it's, you know, a weather event, there was just round-the-clock storm tracker coverage. And I know it was much worse in Seattle, but I think you guys... Mom called me yesterday. I want to know two things. Was my roof leaking and did my fence fall down?
And the answers were?
She said, no, my roof is not leaking. And for some miracle, that fence is still standing. I mean, it's listing a lot, you know, in certain spots. And it's like leaning up against trees. No, we're just back to like really heavy, solid, miserable rain and 39 degrees.
All right.
Okay. Just January in Portland, Oregon, the way it ought to be.
January in Portland. But I do know that the mountain list that we go skiing at, and Lee and Mount Bachelor, they had last week they received 3 feet of snow in 24 hours.
That is fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Good. So just think everybody out west needs it. So
like 3 feet. In a 24-hour period. Wow. So they just got a lot of snow in the mountains. But here, nope, rainy. I mean, thank goodness I bought myself a new pair of windshield wipers. Here.
You're just ready for anything.
I am. Got some galoshes and some new windshield wipers, so ready for the winter.
Oh, you know what? Hey, speaking of galoshes, you guys, I read this study and I literally laughed out loud because I was like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. All right. A recent study came out and I can predict which one of the satellite sisters will have the longest life. Okay. I hope this isn't too depressing, this study. But a recent study came out that the faster you walk,
the
longer your life is going to be. So, who's the fastest walker?
Hands down, Julie Dolan.
Julie's going to live to be like 120 based on the findings of this study, because it says basically if you can make it to 75 and you're a fast walker, then it is clear sailing from there on.
Oh, God.
And Julie, I cannot keep up with her. I mean, she's frantic the way she walks. And she wants to, like, get her exercise and just go out for a stroll at the same time. I mean, I am constantly saying, can we please just slow down? Can we please slow down? I mean, a couple of times she came to Portland when I had my dog, and she tried to walk Quinn, you know, who was like, let's stop and smell the roses. And she was like dragging Quinn around the block.
Leanne, I think you would be number two then. All the sisters watch the Globes.
Yeah. I watched it from beginning to end. I loved it, Sheila. It was one of our, like, you know, snow days. And so I was home. I was on call for work, so I couldn't go anywhere. I saw the whole dang thing, the red carpet, the after parties.
Right. Well, I think you were probably positively influenced by the fact that you had no work. I mean, it was not a good show, Monica.
I know, but I had nowhere else to go.
Okay, well, there you go.
It was the least fun Golden Globes awards I've ever seen.
Really?
I don't know if it was the least fun. I would say just right off the bat, Liz, maybe you agree with me, that it was the most crass, kind of sort of most pretentious, sort of inside jokey joke.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I like Ricky Gervais, so I was just kind of disappointed. If you're going to have Ricky Gervais, you might as well really go for it. And he didn't really go for it. So I feel like you did kind of get a little of this and a little of that, but nothing that was really fresh and new. And a couple of the people that got awards, like, I am sorry, giving Matt LeBlanc an award for playing Matt LeBlanc on a show that I actually think is funny, that show episodes, but that is just not right. you know.
Yeah, it's not right. I don't know about, I mean, the shows, the movies, you know. I was more just disappointed with sort of the George Clooney walking out with a cane imitating Brad Pitt. And then making that really crass joke about Michael Fassbender's private parts. I mean,
I don't know.
There were a lot of private part jokes and poop jokes.
Yes.
Yeah, it kind of brought it down. And there were a lot of people that looked bored.
Yeah, that'll bring it down right away. Plus, Meryl Streep dropped the S-bomb.
Oh, she did? I didn't hear that.
Oh, yeah. And I guess the most...
it, so no one heard it, but...
Yeah, okay. I mean, most disappointing of all, of course, was Mad Dog's speech, Madonna.
Oh.
Just giving sort of the height of pretentiousness speech.
Yes.
And
she thought she was winning an award for the movie she made.
I know. She just on, how many times did she have to say my movie?
My film. I'm so proud of film. It was like you won for the pop song he wrote. You know,
the pop song
sure
that
he didn't even write it. Someone else did.
Okay, right. Hang on. I'm going to try Leah now and see if we can connect with her, because I know she also had an opinion on the whole Elton John Madonna feud that appeared to start.
Well, Sheila, okay. I still enjoyed looking at the
okay. All right, Leon, welcome back. Welcome back to the show. Okay. We've moved on to the Golden Globes, and we're just Sheila was just commenting on the pretentiousness of Madonna's speech, and I thought we might want to bring you back in at this point.
Leon, that was truly horrible.
Well, I mean, well, first of all, she changed her accent like 3 or 4 times in the middle of the speech. I was like, what country are you from? And then secondly, this long-winded story about, you know, how, oh, she was so busy directing her movie, she couldn't possibly write a song for her movie. But her agent told her she had to write a song for her movie that she was directing. I mean, honest to God, did you hear that song? It must have taken her like 5 minutes to write that song.
Right, and someone else wrote it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, really. And a movie no one saw and no one's going to see. Or a song no one will ever hear again. So it was awful. I was embarrassed for my girl, weren't you, Sheila?
I was embarrassed. And we had just pumped her up after finding out she was going to play the Super Bowl and do the halftime show.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're the same age. We're good friends. But she let me down. She let me down, Leon.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, you know, and then the Elton Mad Dog fight after was awesome.
Okay, now explain to me what's going on with that, because I saw you tweeting and Facebooking about that this week, Leon, at Chaos Leon.
Well, Elton was really, you know, he was quite emphatic on the red carpet that Madonna was not going to win. And then Madonna responded by saying, well, he has some issues with me. And then when she did win, Elton's hubby tweeted out all these terrible things, like, what a joke. And he used a lot of language, Liz, that I can't use here.
Really?
And what I appreciate about Elton, and Elton said, Mary J. Blige should have won. So, you know, Elton wasn't saying he should have won. He said Mary J. should have won. So I hope they all get nominated for an Oscar, because it'll be great to see them all again.
No, it's true. And it's you can understand why they get mad, because she's like, oh, I didn't want to write this 5-minute song.
Right.
I was too busy. And
yeah, that's, so busy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really maddening. No, I just thought, you know, all in all, it was rather crass, pretentious, you know, jokey. It's the first year I haven't watched it all the way through from beginning to end.
And, well, you know what? I enjoyed the French people.
And, yes, okay.
and they were all good, all those French people, and the cast of Modern Family.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that's why I hate to sound like Leon here. Leon, I could just let you say this, but that's what happens when you have a writer write your speech. And somebody, which obviously Steve Levitan had written out that whole speech, and he and Sofia Vergara had rehearsed it, and they nailed it in the live telecast. Wouldn't you say, Leon?
It was great, and everyone else is like thanking people no one's ever going to hear from again. I usually don't watch the Golden Globes at all, but I was sick on the couch, so I watched the whole thing. And yeah, I'll never watch again. So,
oh, wow, that's a strong statement, Lan. All right. Well, I'm going to keep watching for you guys, and, you know, year after year. But this year it was a rather blue Golden Globes, I would say.
Okay. All right. Moving on, Monica, you had some myth busting you wanted to do.
I do. So, Sheila, I'm glad you're here. Liz, I'm glad you're here, because I'm going to discuss makeup. on the show.
Bring it on.
And I don't usually discuss makeup, but I'm glad one of the other lab rats is here. So this week I read this story in the New York Times. And you know, when I read a headline that says, you can fall out of bed and look good. Oh, yeah. That was the headline.
And falling out of bed is what I do. I actually fall out of bed now. Okay.
So you fall out of bed and look good. That is the headline. I think it was like the most emailed story of the week. So the point of the story is that the hottest new beauty trend of 2012 is imperfection. That's what the article says.
So. Oh, for God's sake.
Okay, it's about damn time. That's perfect.
Are you kidding me? That's terrible.
I've nailed imperfection. So it goes on to say the article, the new look for the year is effortless, minimalist, and just out of bed, according to leading hair and makeup artists. Okay. So the head of marketing for MAC Cosmetics said, you know, perfection got slightly boring.
Oh, that is so wrong. I do not agree with that. I do not.
You do not? Okay. No. I do. And so what I like is they go on to tell you how you are going to achieve this, just falling out of bed and still looking good, all right? Which is to make, let's get to the how of it, all right? So they say the must-have tools to achieve this imperfection is actually, it's a very recession-friendly idea. It's your fingertips.
Oh,
really?
Your fingertips? That's ridiculous.
Well, it's not ridiculous for me because that's all I got.
Okay.
I have bought the brushes. I have bought the sponges. You told me to buy the like foundation brush.
I did, Monica.
I just always go back to my finger. So I'm glad that I am on trend.
That's because you haven't bought us a proper brush since 1981.
I am on trend for 2012. It's just the look is using your fingers and just, I guess, smudging everything.
Oh, God.
This is news. Honestly, this is a trend. That's so funny.
This was a major article in the New York Times.
Smudging
everything, which I'm very good at. That's all I know how to do. And then the other thing I like about this article, they said one other thing about your hair. Of course, your hair is supposed to be clean when you get up in the morning. But they said it's just supposed to be casual and natural looking. And like a bun you plop on your head as you wash your face in the morning. Now, I do that every morning. I've got something plopped on my head, all right, when I get in the shower. But
I'm not going to work that way.
Who cannot go to work with a plopped on bun? I agree, Sheila. I mean, there's got to be a little bit more effort to that. So to that end, I mean, I read this article and I was glad about the natural look, but I needed to buy some new makeup. I'm going on a trip next week. I needed some new foundation. So I think you might be surprised to know, Sheila, that I go to a social network makeup site.
What?
I belong
what to... What has happened here? What's happening in Portland? I don't understand. Why didn't you go to just Nordstrom's or something?
Well, I love social networking. You know, I love social networking websites, and I love websites that have reviews. So I have been visiting this site called Makeup Alley. All right.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So you're getting research. You're doing research.
I'm a member of Makeup Alley. I might suggest it to listeners.
But you never wear makeup.
Well, I might, you know, if Makeup Alley...
Now that imperfection is in, this is Monica's opportunity to make an entry into the whole marketplace.
Okay, so what did you find?
I went to Makeup Alley. I needed a new foundation, and I went 100% with their recommendations. And these are users. These are users that write in.
It's not used foundation, is it? I mean, do you like swap makeup on this site?
No, people don't swap makeup. They just write reviews, but there's a lot of them. And it's international, you know? So I went with, it's kind of old school, but Elizabeth Arden. Who would have thought?
I didn't even know they were still in business.
You thought the red door had closed?
Yes, forever. Boarded up the red door years ago.
I agree. When you think Elizabeth Arden, what do you think of? Our mother, eight-hour cream, whatever that stuff she used to wear, and Elizabeth Arden makeup. Well, they have this stuff called...
Which was basically A&D ointment.
So they have this stuff called Flawless Finish Mousse Makeup.
Oh.
So it's a mousse, and it's like in a little mini can, and you just, you know, it foams. Do you hear me shaking the mousse?
Apply with your fingertips?
Apply with your fingertips. Right. Exactly. So I go, I have my recommendations for Makeup Valley. I buy the Elizabeth Arden Flawless Finish Mousse Makeup. But of course, there was no Elizabeth Arden sales representative at the store when I'm there. So I pretty much just do it myself, and it's completely the wrong color. But this other woman said you can return it if you want. But I've never returned makeup before. I didn't even think you could return makeup before. It just seems so personal.
Yes. Okay. Can I just say something? It's foundation, Monica. It's the most important shade you're going to put on your face. You need to get the proper shade.
I know that, Sheila. And here I had like plunked down a lot of money for the wrong shade. So I did try it. So this week on Friday, I went back and the saleswoman, I said, you know, I want to try this makeup. I read about it on Makeup Alley. She had never heard of that, but I suggested she join.
Become a member.
Become a member for free. And I said, but I need the right color. So she gave me an entire, like, makeover. And it was just the best thing because it was Friday afternoon.
Oh, nice.
9:30 in the mall. There was a lot of, serums she put on and lotions, and things were going well. We had what we thought was the right color of the mousse. And Sheila, she takes a sponge and she's just gobbing it on. She's just painting it on and another layer. She's layering it. And of course she's saying the right things like, oh, this covers your freckles. And it's like, those aren't freckles.
Those are age spots.
Exactly.
Freckles.
Luckily.
Yeah, they learn to say that. It's, you know, it makes people happier.
Right. And so she had a very soothing voice. Isn't this nice? But she put so much makeup on me. She sort of said, turn your head. And she goes, oh, boy. And she takes a Kleenex. She just wipes it off with the Kleenex. Just didn't seem very professional. Anyways, we got the right layer of mousse.
Uh-huh.
I'm in for the mousse, and I'm going to report
to you. Did you buy blush? I mean, anything to go with it? Just the foundation?
Just the foundation. I have a 10-year-old blush. Don't worry about that.
Oh, please, Monica, please update. Please update.
Blush doesn't change. But she did she had me quite dolled up there in the seat for a Friday night at 5:30. She said I was all ready to go out on the town. I was like, oh.
So did you do that?
I went to Albertsons.
with a lot of mousse.
You know, and the lighting at Albertsons is so harsh. That would not be good with the new
makeup. I know. I went grocery shopping. I'm sure the checkout people were shocked when they saw me looking so, you know, flawlessly finished.
Flawless finish.
Flawless finish as the makeup.
I'm proud of you, Monica. Good job. Good job. Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
So one item at a time. That's good. Well, I know Leon wanted to give us an update also on the personal care front on her recent root canal. So we're going to try dialing her one more time, sisters. So here we go. Let's see if this works. And because she was dying to let us know. Hang on. Hold on. Okay, here we go. Come on, Leon. You know, she always tells us she has connectivity issues. Okay, Leanne, we're back. So Monica will have to tell you all about her new makeup on her own time. So we wrapped up that story. And just as a contrast, we wanted to hear, I know you've had like 10 root canals in the last 10 days. So
I have. Yeah, I have. Well, my last root canal experience really made me think of Sheila. So just at least the post root canal behavior. So I had to go in yet for another root canal. Okay. It's my fourth in a year.
Ooh.
Four in a year. I mean, that's
so bad. That's so bad.
So I've reached sort of the end of my dental limit. Like, I'm not afraid of the dentist, but some of these are really bad, long appointments. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with the dentist per se. It has to do with me and my bad teeth. So I'm getting the root canal packed. There's two appointments. Oh. I've gotten the root canal taken care of, but now it's the long 2-hour appointment where they pack the tooth with something. I have no idea what goes in there, but I know it takes forever. So clearly the pain medication is starting to wear off as the doctor is like finishing up. And honest to goodness, girls, it was the most painful, stressful dental experience I have ever had. Like, just the nerves, the roots, unbelievable.
Oh, we just sweat through your clothes.
Yes, I've done that.
I was sweating. I was shaking. And finally, he stopped. He's like, I'm just going to have to give you more pain medication, even though we're like 1 minute from the end. And at that point, I was like sobbing in the chair. Okay,
oh,
I was crying because it was just everything about it. Like, I couldn't believe I was there again. I couldn't believe this. I couldn't believe that. So then I started to make the bargain with the devil. Like, if I can just get through this root canal and hold it together, I am going to get myself some frozen yogurt. Like, that's the only thing getting me through is there's like sweating and shaking and in pain when he stuck that giant needle in my mouth for the fourth time. And he said, you must really have fast metabolism. You really metabolize that pain medication fast. And you know, ladies, that women in our 40s, we do have fast metabolism.
Yeah.
I said, are you kidding me?
Shoot me up again, doctor. Come on.
I don't think it's the metabolism. And then finally I wanted the froyo, and I decided in the chair as I was crying and sweating that I was going to get myself a new pair of blue jeans. If I could ever get out of that chair.
That makes it all worthwhile.
So I get out of the chair. I mean, I am so wobbly. I can barely walk to the car. I have to like sit and collect myself in the car just to drive the 1.3 miles to Dolce Mango, the frozen yogurt place. That's the first stop. I have to get
priorities, Leanne.
I have to get money first because I'm out of cash. And then I go into Dolce Mango. And Sheila, this is when I became you, because I was hangry. And is there another word for like hungry and shaking, or hungry and stressed out?
And when post dental, when those meds wear off, you're in an altered state. I mean,
And you're potentially drooling, which is always nice.
That's the thing, Liz. I was starving, but I couldn't actually like chew. You know, now I have fresh pain meds in me. Sheila, I go tearing into that Dolce Mango. It is like 11:45, and there's a giant sign on the door that says, "Now new hours, noon to 10.
Oh no, Leanne! Did
but
you?
The doors open, so I'm in, and it's dark. Like, they haven't turned the lights on. And I just start screaming, are you open? You open? And like, the yogurt machines aren't even in place. They're clearly not open. And the poor teenage girl's like, oh, we're not open. I was like, oh, there's a door. So then, thank God I live in a town where there are 1,000 frozen yogurt stores.
Thank God.
So then I get back in the car and I go tearing up the street to Penguins.
Didn't he tell you not to eat anything cold?
I was the only way I could get through that appointment was to promise myself froyo. So I like go to Penguins and I secure
the bright lights. Penguins is like an operating room. It's like going from the dental chair to an operating room.
I just secured the largest chocolate frozen yogurt I could find. And I just sat in my car and I ate it. And then I was like, now I have to get the blue jeans. Like, I couldn't even give myself a break. I was like, I've got to get some blue jeans.
You're ready for the rehab. I mean, now you know what drug addicts feel like, Leanne. That's like addict behavior.
So I look up from my Penguins and there is a TJ Maxx. And I'm like, perfect. Because I want to spend like $19.99 on blue jeans. You know, I don't want good blue jeans. I just want blue jeans now. So I shove the rest of the Penguins froyo in, and then I go tearing into TJ Maxx, and I'm just grabbing blue jeans off the rack, and I show up in those horrible dressing rooms, and I'm like, I have four items. And the woman looks at me with this mix of like pity and concern on her face. She's concerned about me, but she gives me the number four, and I go into the dressing room, and that's when I see myself for the first time. I am so pale. I look like, you know, Nicole Kidman. I mean, I'm so pale. And then, of course, one side of my face is swollen and gigantic, okay? But the giant jaw on my left-hand side is nicely offset by the matted hair on my right hand. Because I've been in that dentist chair for 3 hours, like, squirming and crying. And my hair.
Now you're jonesing for more meds.
I'm like, oh my God. No wonder she looked at me like that. And I am just, John's like, I have to get these blue jeans and get out of here.
Oh God.
It was like, I got the blue jeans. I found a 1999 pair. I had to get home. I was like, what just happened? What just happened?
That's bad. Then welcome to my world.
I thought, this is what Sheila goes through like twice a month. How does she do it?
I know. Well, you know what, Leanne? I feel for you. I do. And I just want you to hang in there. I know. But I'm trying to get away from that in 2012.
Okay.
I'm really making an effort to be more of a lady.
Really? Where do you start with something like that?
Okay, well, I just want to give you a quick update because, first of all, I told you a few weeks ago that I went bird watching, right?
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We were shocked. We were shocked.
No one believed me. Okay, so you ready for number two?
Yes.
Number two in 2012, I actually played cards with other adults.
We are at a retirement home. Where are you hanging out these days?
Okay.
What is next? Yahtzee? Yeah.
Bingo?
Bingo. I think bingo is next.
Bingo?
Church bingo. Go for it.
All right. I am really trying to elevate myself. I'm trying to, again, be more civilized. All I can say, you know, Julie often refers to her husband as the international businessman. I just want to say that I've been spending time with a civilized gentleman.
Uh-huh.
It's sort of a Pygmalion type story. And, you know, all my good outfits, I've used all my top outfits. I mean, I have to like get all new clothes again because, I mean, when you play cards with other adults, you can't in your stretchy pants.
What is the appropriate wardrobe for that? I've never seen people actually doing that.
I actually wore a dress because I was so scared. I mean, gin rummy with three other adults. I mean, what would you wear? I was terrified.
Were there other ladies in the group?
Yes, there was another lady. In fact, I want to do a shout out to my other lady, Kathleen, who is a Satellite Sisters fan.
Oh, okay. And what was Kathleen wearing?
Well, she was wearing blue jeans and a sweater. But it was my first time actually playing cards since I was, 9 years old?
And that was Go Fish. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah, I mean, we played War and Go Fish. And this was scoring points. I mean, Kathleen was very nice. Uh-huh. And so are the civilized gentlemen that we were playing with. But, I mean, we're talking about sitting at a separate table and playing cards, Monica.
Yes, a card table.
Oh, that's why they have those?
That's why they it's a card table. Did you like it?
I did. It was really actually a lot of fun. I mean,
people love it. People love playing cards. Yeah.
It's you can be a little bit social, but not too social. You know, you have to count. You have to do. I mean, I think I had two things going for me. I'm a really good shuffler, so I can shuffle.
Good.
And I can deflect. I mean, I can, you know, if I have a terrible hand, I can just say, oh, you know.
Is that part of the game? There's bluffing involved in Gin Rummy?
Well, I was bluffing my way through the whole thing. But
bluffing your way through being civilized?
Pretty much so, Liz. That's the biggest bluff of all.
Were you promising yourself frozen yogurt if you got through the evening? I get through this night.
No, I was like, as soon as I get, at least when I get out of here, I can get into my stretchy pants and eat frozen pizza. I mean, yeah. You know, and watch TV. I mean, this was engaging with other adults.
That is out of the ordinary for you on a weekend night.
You know? I think I did really well. I mean, I think I did well. Kathleen was a delight. And, you know, what could be next for me? Any suggestions what I should take up next?
Wow. Bird watching, card playing. What was
shuffleboard.
Yeah. Well, needlepoint. Needlepoint.
Yeah, knitting, crocheting is good. Watercolors.
Yeah. Watercolors.
Gardening.
Yeah.
Sheila, it's good to that you're finding new hobbies. You know?
Well, yes. I mean, I am. And I mean, they're not my hobbies, but
But you don't really have any hobbies, right? So you could try on a few others.
I don't have that many hobbies, so I can glom on, but it's just, it's a whole new world for me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. It's a stretch, but I think I will keep you posted on all of it.
Okay. All right. That's good. Well, I know we're getting near the end of this week's show. I just had to tell you guys, like, I went through the most death-defying maneuver yesterday of all. And I know you'll be able to understand how stressful this would have been. I realized on Friday that this coming week, on Thursday, I'm leaving town on a business trip. I also realized on Friday, I looked at myself in the mirror, and you know how all of a sudden you realize you've gone by the date for your haircut?
Like, yes, it happens in 1 week's time.
It just is like all of a sudden you see, oh my God, I have to get my haircut right now. So I called my normal place Friday to get an appointment for Saturday, and no luck. Sunday, no. Monday, no. So I couldn't get any for either cut or color, and I desperately needed both. I could not get both of those. And so then I'm like, okay, now which one? Then I'm thinking, do I need to prioritize one? Maybe just the color is the way to go and I can live with the haircut. Anyway, it was clear that I was not going to get into my normal place at all, no matter how I tried bargaining with the guy on the phone. And, you know, which makes you mad because, of course, you're a regular customer, but whatever. So now I have to test out a new haircutter, which is stressful enough. And know that I'm leaving town to go to this big event with whatever the results are of the haircut.
Ooh.
So I realized that my friend Catherine in New York had emailed me that the woman who had been cutting her hair for the past 5 years had just moved to Southern California. And not only moved to Southern California, but was currently working at a salon in Santa Monica.
Are you kidding me? This is incredible.
This is incredible, Sheila. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to see if I can get in to see. Sadly, her name was Star. So that made me a little worried that I was, you know, that now I'm signing up for a hairstylist named Star.
Star was the name of my, the makeup lady last week.
You're kidding.
No, Star on Friday.
Okay. Mm. So I call Star's salon and yes, I can get an appointment to have my hair cut by Star. I'm like, okay, it's cut and color, single process color. And they're like, oh, Star doesn't do color.
So
now I have to get someone else new to do my color. And I'm wondering if this is just like a bridge too far. I almost said forget it. I can't have two unknowns here. It's just too much. I said, okay, well, who can do color on Saturday afternoon? And they said, Shin can do colors. Okay. Okay. So now I'm signed up with Star and Shin. And I'm like, what have I gotten myself into? This might be, and I know I'm leaving town to go to this big event in another part of the world that you just don't want to turn up with the disastrous hair thing. So this was really a death-defying maneuver. I know you guys have all been in that situation where you just don't know if you should go. Would you have gone through with it if you were me?
What the heck? It's LA. They're good colorists.
Yeah. What's the worst that could happen, right? But you remember there was one time where I did this right before the Satellite Sisters were being filmed for a TV, and it was like a Good Morning America thing or something when our show was on Saturday mornings, and I had my hair colored on Friday night, and it came out like purple. Do you remember that?
Okay.
Yeah. So I still have that memory. In my, you know, like the purple hair incident is there. Anyway, it was a triumph. I just want to report.
Okay. Wow.
Here's the thing. First of all, I realized the excellent thing about having a haircut that is basically just a pixie is that it's kind of hard to screw it up. You know, unless they go super duper duper short, which, you know, they could do, I suppose. But it is what it is. A little, like a super short pixie haircut. Just there are instructions for that. They don't really have to be that interpretive. And it was more like a trim than it was a total restyle. So the cut part of it went very swimmingly. And then the color, that's when Shin entered the picture. And I liked her a lot. It's her brand new salon in Santa Monica. So that was kind of fun. And then while I'm sitting there chatting with Shin, then I notice in the chair next to me, there's some threading going on. Have you ever had that done?
Your eyebrows or your hair?
No, you're right. That's a fair question. Yes, your eyebrows. It's a way,
I've had it. I had it in New York. It's fine. Totally fine. It hurts a lot, though.
It doesn't hurt more than waxing.
Waxing doesn't hurt me at all.
Oh.
I just were about to say I love waxing. You stopped yourself, but I love waxing.
Anyway,
did
so
you have the threading as well, Liz?
So I was feeling so confident now.
Oh, Liz, you're nuts. You're nuts.
Yes, and it was fine. So I got the triple play there in the new salon. I'm a whole new customer. Now I may never go back to my old place.
That's what happens.
Yeah, that's what happens. If they're not going to accommodate you when you really, really need them, you can just move on. So it was very successful all the way around. And I even took a picture of myself with Star and texted it to Catherine in New York while all of the fun was going on in the new Shin salon. So that she could see that a good time was being had by all.
Your old hairdresser is toast, I can tell.
Well, I never really liked that salon, even though I liked her. You know how that works sometimes?
Yes.
Anyway, I know we've spent a lot of time today on makeup and hair and teeth and things, but it's just, I think it's a January kind of thing.
Right, and foundation. I mean, these are the foundations of our lives.
Okay, let's not.
I hope not.
All right, well, that's pretty much it. That was...
Can I just remind people, if you are a Chaos Chronicles listener, or even if you aren't and you would like to start listening to my podcast, I have a new server, much like Satellite Sisters went through a couple months ago. So you have to go back into iTunes and resubscribe to the Chaos Chronicles. You're looking for the clean version. I know that sounds funny because it's not like I did a nasty version before, but just the old feed versus the new feed, you want to look up at iTunes Chaos Chronicles clean version. Even, you know, if you have no intention of ever listening, just subscribe. That would help me out.
Yes, and the same is true with Satellite Sisters. We've also gotten some mail that people are having, not that some of the new apps may not be really suiting their needs. So if you're having trouble with the iPhone app for any reason, the Stitcher Radio app, which you can also just download to your iPhone, is fantastic. And both Satellite Sisters and all of your shows, Lee, and Chaos Chronicles are all on Stitcher Radio too, right?
Yes. So you can find us on Stitcher Radio as well.
So I'm enjoying Stitcher. If you have an Android phone, we have an Android app that you can either get in the Android App Store, or the easier way is actually at Amazon, in Amazon's Android App Store. So we have Satellite Sisters all over the place. And as Leanne reminded me the other day, we just have to start spreading the message more that podcasting is the future.
It is the future. It's the future.
So if you believe that, you should subscribe to our show and just spread the word. And when we post the show every weekend, when we finish putting the show online, we always put it at our Facebook group, which is the Satellite Sisters Facebook group. And when we post it there, if you want to repost it so that all of your friends can see it too, that would also be really helpful to us. Because we're trying to get the word out there. Podcasting is the future.
Yeah. You know, now that Steve Jobs is gone, anybody, Liz, can be the next voice of the future. I mean, there's no reason it can't be us, right?
We're gonna give it a go. Yeah. Yes, you're right. We should at
least go. We're futurists now, Liz.
Media futurists. All right, sisters. I hope everyone has a good week. I'm gonna be out of town next weekend, so you're on your own with the show.
All right. Thanks, Liz.
Thanks, Liz. Hey, I'll be going to New Orleans next weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, back to New Orleans. So flawlessly finish.
Knock them dead, Monica.
Okay.
All right. We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your satellite sisters.